certainty, have knowledge, that a mawdu' hadith is the worst, is the most evil of all weekly reported narrations. The mawdu' hadith is the worst hadith that can be reported about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَحِلْ, and it is not permitted, it is prohibited to report a hadith of this nature, a mawdu' hadith of this nature, while knowing that it is mawdu'. It is a sin, it is prohibited for a person to report a mawdu' hadith knowing that it is mawdu', unless the person will report the hadith joining with it the bayan, the clarification and the proof as to why it is a fabricated hadith, or showing that it is a fabricated or a mawdu' hadith. This is different, he says, Ibn Salah says, this is different than narrating regular weak hadith, other weak hadith that are higher than this level, because there are weak hadith that we suspect internally, and we are searching for the proof and searching for witnessing chains, that we suspect internally that the hadith is authentic. While a fabricated hadith, we are certain it is unauthentic. While some weak narrations, they may rise to the level of hasan sooner or later, as the Shaykh explained, when there are witnessing chains and they may become strengthened. So here we see that a mawdu' hadith, the first issue is that if one knows that the hadith is mawdu', one is sure of it, he is not allowed to tell anyone and narrate this hadith to anyone unless he tells them this is a mawdu' hadith and explains it clearly. He has clarification regarding it, meaning bibayan wad'i, knowing and clarifying the source and the reason for its fabrication. And this is separate and this is different than the regulation of other weak ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we may suspect that they may be authentic internally. That we suspect they may be truthful internally. This is something that there may be research that brings about its truth.
والأمر الثاني أن بعض الزهاد أو المنتسبين إلى الزهد كجهلة المتصوفة وبعض الفرق كالكرامية وضعوا حديثا أحاديثا على الرسول في الترغيب والترهيب, فلما سئلوا قالوا نحن ما وكذبنا على النبي, نحن كذبنا للنبي, أي كذبنا من أجل الدين, كما يحصل عند الجماعة المسمى الجماعة التبليغ في هذا الزمان. يقول لك يكذبون على الرسول, يقول لك نحن ما كذبنا على الرسول, نحن كذبنا للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ابن الملقن في المقنع الواضعون أقسام, أعظمهم ضررا قوم ينسبون إلى الزهد وضعوه حسبة أي من أجل الأجر فيما زعموا فقبلت موضوعاتهم ثقة بهم, أي قبل الناس الموضوعات ثقة بهم وأن نيتهم حسن, وجوزت الكرامية وهي فرقة ضالة الوضع في الترغيب والترهيب وهو خلاف الإجماع. وقال الحافظ ابن حجر, الحافظ ابن كثير في اختصار علوم الحديث, الواضعون أقسام كثيرة, منهم زنادقة ومنهم متعبدون يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا, يضعون أحاديث في الترغيب فيها ترغيب وترهيب وفيها فضائل الأعمال وليعمل بها, وهؤلاء طائفة من الكرامية وغيرهم, وهم من أشر ما فعل هذا لما يحصل بضررهم في الغرة على كثير ممن يعتقد صلاحهم فيظن صدقهم, وهم شر من كل كذاب في هذا الباب, وهم شر من كل كذاب في هذا الباب.
نعم. The Shaykh حفظه الله continues by saying, As well, we see the second, there are those who lie about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, we are lying for him. Meaning, they know that what they are saying is inaccurate and fabricated. But they say, but what we are saying in matters of fada'ul a'mal, calling people to good and righteous deeds, it's worth it because people may gain benefit from it, and therefore they come closer to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we are lying to help the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is their inverted, confused, misguided understanding. They say, we're not lying about him, we're lying for him. Although what we say may not be accurate, may be weak, may be fabricated, by us saying it, it's something that maybe people will benefit from and they will later on become religious. And therefore it's worth it. In fact, this is a completely misguided understanding. Here the Shaykh recites to us and reminds us of the words of Ibn al-Mulaqqam, where he says that al-wadda'un, the people who fabricate a hadith, are of different types. The greatest harm and the most harmful of these wadda'un, the most harmful of those who fabricate narrations are qawmun, they are a group who claim to adhere to zuhd. They claim to adhere to being from those who forsake the worldly life, and that we love Allah and we are looking towards al-akhirah. And they say and do and play fabricated narrations while stating that what they make as wada' is accepted from them, because they, and people accept these fabricated chains and narrations from them, because they appear to be thiqah, they appear to be trustworthy. Meaning, people see them, they have nice Islamic manners, or they pretend that they are in zuhd, and people look to them and they say, oh, he may have this and this and this. So they listen to their words and accept it because they think or perceive that those people are trusted sources of knowledge. And we see of these types of groups, the Shaykh mentions to us, at-tabligh. The tablighi jama'at, the Shaykh mentions, that when we tell them, in your books and in these statements, here, 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 and here, and here, here are fabricated narrations, here are weak narrations, remove them. They say, no, we leave them, because this isn't a lie about the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a lie for him. This is something that people read and become impressed, and they can return and practice better deeds. And therefore they have that confused concept. Also, Karramiyya, which is a deviant group that was from the groups of the past and is still present and found. These groups are those who place many fabricated ahadith in the chapters of At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. Targhib means the narrations that bring you closer to doing righteous deeds. And the tarheeb are ahadith and narrations that are to dissuade you from practicing evil deeds. They will mention to you, this is the punishment for this deed, although there is no authentic hadith mentioning that. Or this is the reward for doing this deed, although that deed is foreign from Islam, and there is no reward in practicing that. As well, وَهُوَ خِلَافُ الْإِجْمَاعِ, and they at times go against, and always go against, the consensus and the unanimous agreements. Also we see Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir. He states in Ikhtisar Ulum Al-Hadith, he states, Al-Wadda'un Aqsamun Kathira. Those who fabricate hadith are of varying and a multitude of types. They are of a varying and a large multitude of types. Minhum Az-Zanadiqa. Of those who are fabricators of hadith are Az-Zanadiqa. Those who are heretics and atheists who don't have any faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُمْ مُتَعَبَّدُونَ. There are others who are worshippers, who claim to be worshippers. يَحْتَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They claim to be worshippers of Allah, and they think by stating these words that they are doing a good deed in furthering the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَضَعُونَ أَحَدِيثٍ. They lie and make a hadith that they claim will bring people close to doing right deeds and do this deed, for it is a good deed and you get this reward. And they warn people of other deeds by telling them, stay away from this, for this is the punishment. All of it fabricated. وَفِي فَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And they make lies about fada'il, the beneficial deeds or the virtuous deeds that will bring you closer to Allah, and they are lied about a hadith. And they practice and call people to the practice of these fabricated ahadith. So there are these different types and there are these different groups. وَهَٰؤُلَاءِ طَائِفَةٌ. And another type, these ta'ifa al-karramiyyah. The ta'ifa al-karramiyyah. They are those مِنْ أَشَرِّ مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا. They are of the worst who have practiced this. لِمَا يَحْصُلْ. Because of that which is built upon the harm that they institute and cause in calling people and in many people believing the validity of their words and the validity of the ahadith that they are reporting. فَيَظُنُّ. And they think that they are truthful. They accept the hadith thinking that they are truthful statements. وَهُمْ شَرْ. They are an evil group and an evil people, meaning those who practice these deeds. They are the worst of those, and even worse than the regular liars في هذا الباب. They are worse than regular liars because people actually believe the lies that they propagate.
الأمر الثالث الذي أريد التنبيه عليه أنه ألف العلماء كتبا كثيرة في الموضوعات، ولعل من أكبرها كتاب الموضوعات للإمام ابن الجوز، من أعظمها الكتاب الموضوعات لابن الجوزي، وكتاب أيضا العلل المتناهية له.
The Sheikh points out that therefore, seeing the danger of these types of ahadith, many of the scholars have gathered books, including in them just these fabricated narrations, so that people would be aware of them. From them, Al-Mawdu'at of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Jawzi, which is a well-known and famous book on this topic. It's a large book that contains many of these ahadith. Also, Al-Imam Ibn Al-Jawzi has another book dealing with the same topic that is of a lesser nature. The well-known one is Al-Mawdu'at of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Jawzi.
الأمر الأخير أن من ثبتت توبته قبلت بعد ذلك روايته. من ثبتت توبته توبة النصوح قبلت بعد ذلك روايته، لأن الكذب على رسول الله أشد أحواله وأغلب أحواله أن يكون كفرا مخرجا من الملة. والكافر الأصلي لو تاب وأناب ورجع إلى الله قبلت توبته، فلا يغلق باب التوبة ولا يحول بين العبد وبين التوبة أحد. فالله سبحانه وتعالى قال وإني لغفار لمن تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا ثم اهتدى. هذا والله تعالى أعز وأكرم وأعلى وأعلم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدينا سواء السبيل.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah concluded our session by mentioning it is also important to note that the person who was known to lie and who was a fabricator, when he comes forward and admits and makes known his tawbah, makes known his repentance from these deeds, from that moment on, he becomes a person who can be trusted once again. A person who comes forward and declares his repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes it known to the people. Therefore, from that moment on, he can be a source where his narrations can be accepted. How can it be otherwise when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. I am surely the one who will forgive those who seek and who perform tawbah to me. So therefore, the one who repents to Allah sincerely and turns back from these evil deeds that he has performed, he can change his life and therefore his report can become accepted thereafter. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. This is where we conclude the discussion with you. If there are questions that are pertinent to the topic, you can bring them forward.
I want to give an opportunity as well if there's questions from the sisters and how these they're feeling a bit hard done by, because I don't think their questions are getting answered. So if there's any on the topic, we'll do that. Brothers, as usual, we'll take a few from the floor and then inshallah see if there's questions from the sisters, if someone can run across and see if they've got questions on the topic.
The first hadith that we will take, I think it's an important one. If a hadith is classed as being mawdu' or matruh, can it ever be raised to the level of da'if and then thereafter be raised to the level of hasan due to supporting narrations? Al-hadith al-mawdu' aw al-hadith al-matruh aw al-hadith al-da'if. لو وجد هل يوجد له شواهد يرتقي به إلى
الحديث المطروح والحديث الموضوع شواهده التي مثله لا تزيده إلا وهنا ولا تزيده إلا ضعفا، فلذلك لا يترقى بكثرتها إلى درجة القوة، بل يزداد بها سفولا وانحطاطا.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah answers by saying, a hadith that is matruh or a hadith that is mawdu' is a hadith, it doesn't matter how many witnessing chains similar to it that can be brought, it will never raise it to the level of da'if or hasan. And the reason is, all of the witnessing chains of a fabricated hadith would also have to be something that have been fabricated and instituted of this nature, so they only bring it even further down and proving it even more that it is a matruh and a matruh or a it is a mawdu' hadith. No.
وهذا أخ يسأل يقول هل يصح في فضل أو أهمية اللغة العربية حديث أما حديث مرفوع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا أعلم حديثا يصح في ذلك، ولكن هل اللغة العربية من الدين؟ فنعم، لأنها وعاء الإسلام وهي الطريق إلى فهم القرآن وفهم سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وحسبكم ما يدل على شرفها وعلى عظمها أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أنزل آخر كتبه بها، وهذا الكتاب هو للبشرية عامة وليس للعرب بخاصة، مما يدل على أن هذه اللغة لها شرف عظيم ولها مقام كريم عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. وصدق من قال من أهل الشعر فيها: وسعت كتاب الله لفظا وغاية فكيف أضيق عن أسماء مخترعاتي. فاللغة العربية بارك الله فيكم من أشرف اللغات ومن أعظم العلوم وأجلها، فينبغي على طالب العلم سواء كان عربيا اللسان أم أعجميا اللسان أن يسعى حثيثا لتعلمها، فإنها الطريق إلى معرفة مراد الله ومراد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على مراد أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فينبغي أن نسعى لتعلمها وتعليمها ونشرها، وهي بحمد الله لغة ميسرة، لغة واضحة، ليس كما هي لغة واسعة لكنها في نفس الوقت يسيرة واضحة. نعم.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah answers a question that he chose as being a question fitting. He says, a person asks, are there any narrations, any prophetic ahadith that mention the virtue of the Arabic language or the importance that is to be put upon learning the Arabic language? The Shaykh says, I have no knowledge of a hadith that is marfu'a, raised to the level, meaning from the wording of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that mentions the virtue of learning or practice or seeking the Arabic language. But the Sheikh mentioned, but the Arabic language is the key to understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, and therefore its virtue and its blessings is known by all and cannot be doubted. He continues by saying, what is a greater proof than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing His final word and His final book that is for all humanity in the language of the, in the lugha al-arabiyya, in the Arabic language? What is greater proof than there is there than this? Therefore, this shows the high status and the importance that is placed upon the Arabic language and its importance in, therefore, in seeking to learn it and then teaching it to others who may not know it. And it is of the best of sciences from the Islamic sciences to be studied, for it is something that is precursory to all of the other sciences, all of the other Islamic sciences. It is the beginning point to the ulum of al-Islam. And therefore we must seek to learn it and teach it to others. We must be of those who try to acquire as much knowledge of it as we can, knowing that the Arabic language is a vast language, yet it is simple to learn for the one who puts his effort into it. Knowing the Arabic language is a great blessing and it is a great key to acquiring knowledge about the religion of Islam. Now. What about someone who narrates a hadith that is authentic but lies about where he heard it from? Is this narration mawdu'a?
لو روى راوي حديث متنه صحيح ولكن كذب في إسناد الحديث
هل
يعني المتن صحيح في روايات أخرى يعني بأسانيد أخرى لكن في أول السنة هو كذب
يعني حديث له إسناد صحيح
له إسناد صحيح
موضوع. طبعا الحديث إذا كان له إسنادان أحدهما صحيح والآخر ضعيف أو متروك أو ضعيف جدا فإن العمدة والمدار على الرواية الصحيحة على الإسناد الصحيح ولا يلتفت حينئذ إلى بقية الروايات لأن المدار على الإسناد والإسناد إذا صح هذا هو المدار عليه. أما إذا كان هناك إسناد موضوع فلا حاجة لنا إليه كما قال ابن مبارك في الصحيح ما يغني عن الضعيف في الصحيح ما يغني عن الضعيف.
The Sheikh answers by saying حفظه الله that if there is an authentic chain of narration and there are many fabricated chains of narration, we establish the foundation being in the authenticity of that chain. So therefore we declare the hadith sahih and we do not pay attention to the fabricated chains. For the asl is that if there is an authentic chain of narration and the wording does not contradict the words of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's normal words, the norm of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we establish that as being an authentic hadith and do not look towards the weak narrations of that particular hadith. As was known by Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, where he would say the essence of the matters in these issues is that we take the sahih and we turn away from the light. I have a question.
Yes, Sheikh.
How do we answer those who say that we look to the ma'na of the hadith qabla al-sanad?
كيف نرد على من يقول ننظر في المعنى قبل السند يعني لا ننظر للسند إلا إذا توافق المعنى مع العقل نعم.
طبعا هذه شبهة العقلانيين والمستشرقين فإن الحديث النبوي سند ومتن والطريق إلى المتن هو بالسند ومن أراد أن يصل إلى المتن دون السند فقد أراد أن يهدم الإسلام لأن أمة الإسلام هي أمة الإسناد لذلك قال بعض السلف لولا الإسناد لقال من شاء في الدين ما شاء لولا الإسناد لقال من شاء في الدين ما شاء. وكان عبد الله بن مبارك يقول بيننا وبين القوم القوائم، أي إسناد الأحاديث، فكأن الحديث راحلة لا تمشي إلا بقوائم. فمن أراد إخواني هدم الإسناد فهو يسعى حثيثا لهدم الإسلام، وهذا مخالف لإجماع أمة الإسلام، وهو من المستشرقين أو ممن تربى ورضع لبانهم وتعمد في جامعاتهم ومحاضنهم، فعاد ينكأ في الإسلام والمسلمين، نعوذ بالله من شره.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this question. The question once again is, how do we answer those, or what is the position regarding those who say that we have to look to see and rationalize the validity of the words that are reported from the Rasul before we look to the sanad, before we even look to the chain of narration. The Sheikh says, this is the action and this is the deed of the Aqlani, the one who puts his mind before the text, and the actions of the Orientalists. They are those who seek to destroy al-Islam. The Sheikh gives us an important statement by saying, the tariq to the matn, the way to the matn, it can only be through the sanad. To get to a valid wording, you must assess the way to it, and that way is through the chain of narration. And therefore, by inverting it, you are seeking to destroy al-Islam by putting the words before the chain. So how do you authenticate and have validity of a wording unless you know where it is originating from and if it is established or not? And therefore we know the statements of the scholars of al-Islam, لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادِ, if it was not for the chain of narration, whoever wished to say whatever they wished, they would say it. Meaning that it would be free for all, anyone can claim anything and not be held to account or asked, where did you get this? Who did you hear this from? As well as the statement that of the scholars, between us and them are the things that are established, meaning the isnads, meaning the chains of narration. We don't accept the words of anyone, and we don't measure, and we do not measure the matn, the text, by our intellect. Rather, we measure it first by its validity. Is it established? Is it reported or not? If it is a reported statement from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we seek to understand its meanings and so forth.
Written questions here. We've got some from the sisters which she's going to take first. And because we've got quite a lot of them, inshallah. If we can get to the floor, depending on the sheikh, we will do that, bismillah.
What is the classification of the hadith that states that a woman must do the sajda, lowering her body to the floor to prevent it from being exposed?
ما صحة الحديث أو الكلمة أن المرأة إذا سجدت لازم تهبط إلى الأرض بسرعة وتلزق نفسها بالأرض، يعني في السجود، هل سجود المرأة مثل سجود الرجل؟ هل في خلاف بينهم؟
لا أعلم في صفة صلاة المرأة عن صفة صلاة الرجل خلاف، إلا في بعض المواطن التي نص عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهي خاصة بصلاة الجماعة دون صلاة الفرد.
ما هو الفرق؟
نعم سأترجم هذا أول
شيء. طيب. The Sheikh answers by saying, we do not know of any major distinction between the prayer of a Muslim woman and the prayer of a Muslim man in the actual makeup of their prayer and in the actual mode of prayer, except in special circumstances when the prayer is in jama'ah.
ومما يدل على ما ذكرت قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي، فهذا اللفظ عام يشمل الرجال ويشمل النساء.
نعم. And from the proof we see the statement of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم saying pray as you have seen me pray, meaning the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم left it as a general statement that encompasses both the Muslim man and the Muslim woman
together. No distinction was made by him there, صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أما الفروق فقد وردت في صلاة الجماعة مثلا أن صلاة المرأة في بيتها خير من صلاتها في المسجد بعكس الرجل فإن صلاته في المسجد أفضل من صلاته في بيته أهني الفريضة.
نعم. Also we see from the regulations of the jama'ah is that the Muslim woman, we see the distinction now being made that the Muslim woman, it is preferred for her to pray in her home while it is preferred for the brother to pray in the masjid. So this is one of the distinctions that is made by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أمر آخر أن خير صفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها والعكس في أمر النساء فشرها أولها وخيرها آخرها.
Also we see another distinction is that the best place for a Muslim man to stand when he is praying in jama'ah is to stand at the very front of the masjid, the front line, while it is the best thing for the Muslim woman when she prays in the jama'ah to stand at the rear, the furthest from the imam in the masjid.
أمر ثالث أن التصفيق للنساء والتسبيح للرجال في تنبيه الإمام.
Also, when there is a mistake that is made by the imam and he is unaware of it, the Muslim woman is not to raise her voice and say Subhanallah as a reminder to the imam. Rather, she is to clap. While a man, he is not to clap, he is to address the imam with his voice.
من الأمر الآخر أن إمامة النساء تكون في وسط الصف الأول بعكس إمامة الرجال يكون متقدم عن الصف الأول.
Also from we see another distinction, if Muslim women are praying in congregation, that the woman who will lead them is to stand in the middle of the line, in the line, while the imam of the men, the man who is leading them, the brothers in the salah and the sisters who may be praying behind him, he stands distinct and in front of the first line. So he stands by himself while the woman is to stand in the middle amongst the sisters in the front line.
وأنبه هنا على هذه الحكمة الشرعية العظيمة أن إمام الرجال يتقدم لكن إمامة النساء لا تتقدم بأن المرأة لا يمكن أن تكون قائد ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفلح قوم ولو أمرهم امرأة.
The Shaykh gives you a point of benefit regarding this last point, why the woman prays in the middle and the brother who would lead the prayer, the imam, stands distinct in the front. Because in Islam there is no recognition for the woman to be a leader of a people. So therefore, even in salah, she doesn't lead the sister, she leads them but stands amongst them. She's not distinct as their leader. And therefore this is known from the hadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that no success shall come to a people who give their authority to a woman to rule them. And this is even, you can see it in something as simple as this salah. Now. Today, many of us use hadith terminology to write off each other, relying on a narration or narrations on the narrations of others who are friends of ours, saying they're reliable, or is this correct?
الآن
no.
الآن أصبح الأمر أن بين الإخوة من يستمعون يستعملون الاصطلاحات الحديثية التي نتعلمها في الجرح والتعديل لبعض الإخوة اللي يعني يجلسون ويعيشون معهم فيقول هو متروك أو هو كذا هل هذه الاصطلاحات جائزة؟
هو متروك ومطرود
مطرود وضعيف وهو غير ثقة ويبني هذا الحكم من أخبار أصدقاء الرجل أو أخوه.
قل هذا علم الجرح والتعديل علم الرواية يطبق في الرواية عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الأمر الآخر أن الجرح والتعديل يكون للعلماء وليس من كل العلماء وإنما من العلماء العالمين بأسباب الجرح والتعديل. ولذلك فإن استعمال هذا العلم بهذا الحال الموصوف هو امتهان لهذا العلم الذي تميزت به أمة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكما قلت بالأمس ينبغي على طلاب العلم أن يشتغلوا بالعلم، وأنا أعلم يقينا أن الذين يشتغلون في هذه الأمور ليس عندهم شيء يشتغلون به فاخترعوا هذه الأشياء ليشتغلوا في أعراض الناس.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, first we establish that the ilm of jarh and ta'deel, of disparaging and writing the conditions and accepting the conditions of people, is based in the reporting of knowledge. It is the essence of it is used in the reporting of knowledge from one person to another. The second point that the Sheikh alludes to and indicates to you is that this type of knowledge is to be done only by scholars, and in fact not all scholars, but the scholars who have knowledge of the reasons and the regulations and the rules, who have the knowledge of the ilm of jarh and ta'dil. And third, the Sheikh says that this is not to be used to defame others. As well, he mentions, in using it in our personal issues, it defames the status of this esteemed practice and knowledge that is from the practices and knowledge of al-Islam. The Sheikh says, I remind you again of the words I gave to you last night, where I said, let the students of knowledge be engaged with gaining knowledge. And he said, we must ensure that we free ourselves from the errors that we will make to one another, and that we do not use this against one another, these terms, unless there is proof for it and it is based on the correct understanding that the scholars give, and so forth.
وحتى لا تفهم الكلمة الأخيرة فهما خطأ فإن المتصيدين كثر. أقول أن الرد على أهل البدع تجريح تعديل هو من شأن العلماء، ونحن قد كفانا العلماء هذا الباب، والعلماء بفضل الله لم يتركوا هذا المجال للعامة، ولم يتركوا هذا المجال للناشئة، ولم يتركوا هذا المجال لمن لم يفقه الواجب العيني من دين الله تبارك وتعالى. هناك ناس لو سألتهم مسألة في الصلاة وهي واجب عيني عليهم لا يعلمون، إذا سألتهم في الطهارة لا يعلمون، إذا سألتهم في الصوم لا يعلمون، سألتهم في المنهج أو التوحيد لا يعلمون، ومع ذلك يطلقون ألسنتهم في علام وزيدان وعمر وزيد وهكذا. فأنا أقول أربعوا على أنفسكم يا عباد الله، واتركوا القوس لباريها، اتركوا القوس لباريها، اتركوا الأمر لأهل العلم وطلاب العلم، فإنهم قد تكلموا فيما أنتم فيه قبل أن تخلقوا وقبل أن تولدوا.
الله أكبر. The Sheikh حفظه الله adds, he says, so that my words are not misunderstood, for there are people who are picky and they will want to take one word out of our word, we give you further clarification by saying that those who are to refute the people of bid'ah are those who are aware of the rules of jarh and ta'deel, those who know the constitutes of it, meaning the scholars of al-Islam. And we are to know fully well that the scholars of al-Islam do not need our help, and they have not left an opening for us to fill. For there are many, walillahi alhamd, there are many scholars, walhamdulillah, who have put themselves forward justifiably in fulfilling this cause. And have done the job well. And the Sheikh says, it's surprising to see that there are people who speak in these matters, but when you ask them something about Salah, which is Fardu Ayn, something that they're required to know individually, not collectively, and you ask them something simple about Salah, they don't know the rule and regulation. You ask them about Tahara, and they don't know the rule and regulation. You ask them about the rules and regulation of Qiyam, or of Manhaj, or of Tawheed, and they don't know
the rules and the regulations or the understandings of them. So therefore we don't leave this matter to every Zaid Amr, meaning every Tom, Dick and Harry in the English language. We don't leave it to anyone to say what they wish. It's something that is left to those who are trained and specialized and know this with certainty. So therefore the Sheikh says, أَرْبِعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, restrict yourselves and put your voices down, hold your words, restrict yourself from falling into this error, and leave the matter to its people. Leave the issue of this great issue to the people who are great enough to deal with it and worthy enough to deal with it. And this is the path that will give you the most success and benefit.
من باب البيان أيضا, وهذا أمر مهم, أنا أعرف أنه مهم, يشغل كثير من أفكار الشباب. أقول مثال من على هؤلاء الشباب الذين يشغلوا أنفسهم بهذا الأمر ولم يحسنوا العلم. أذكر قبل 6 سنوات أو 5 سنوات أننا جلسنا مجلسا في مسجد بريكستون للإصلاح بعضنا بعض الإخوة, سواء في لندن أو برمنغهام أو لوتن أو غيرها من أماكن بريطانيا. فاتفق الأخوة على أمر, فقام أحد الشباب المتحمسين من منطقة مانشستر فقال, أنا لا أقبل كلامكم إلا إذا رجعت إلى الشيخ ربيع والشيخ مقبل رحمه الله والشيخ أبي إسحاق الحويني. فقال له الشيخ علي حفظه الله, إن صاحبك الشيخ أبي إسحاق الحويني هو الآن موظف عند جمعية إحياء التراث الإسلامي. قبل 5 دقائق أقول لا أقبل إلا قوله, في نفس اللحظة قال سأضعه تحت قدمي.
لا.
تغير المفاجئ, الانحراف 180 درجة. في اللحظة الأولى سيضعه على رأسه ولا يقبل إلا قوله, وبعد 5 دقائق يقول سأضعه تحت قدمي. هذا لا يصلح. والحقيقة أن أمثال هؤلاء يذاع عنهم أنهم أئمة الجرح والتعديل في بريطانيا. وهو مثلا يكذب على الشيخ ربيع, ذهب إلى الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله وزاده الله توفيقا وجعله شوكة في حلوق الحزبيين والبدعيين, وقال يا شيخ أنا أريد أن أدرس في الجامعة فأريد أن تزكيني. فأعطاه الشيخ ربيع ورقة تزكية للجامعة, فرجع هنا وجاء صار يقول أنا الشيخ ربيع زكاني وجعلني إمام الجرح والتعديل. لا يستحوذ. أما مثلا ونحن لا نعلم مثلا ما يدور على الساحة في الكتب التي تؤلف باللغة الإنجليزية مثلا, فينقل لنا بعض الإخوان أن بعض المنتسبين للدعوة من أمثال هذا جمال الدين زرابوز مثلا يطعن في كتبه في الشيخ الألباني والشيخ ابن عثيمين وغيرهم من أهل العلم. فأقول يجب على إخواننا طلاب العلم في هذه البلاد الذين يقرؤون هذه الكتب ويعلمون ما فيها من شر مستطير أن يردوا على هذا الهجام الولاج ويبينوا كذبه على أهل العلم. فهذا واجب عليهم, لأن هذا الأمر لا يتم إلا بقراءة هذه الكتب المؤلفة باللغة الإنجليزية, وعلماء العرب لا يعرفون اللغة الإنجليزية على الأكثر أو لا يطلعون عليها. فينبغي أن يرد طلاب العلم عليه أو أن يترجموا كلامه وينقلوه لأهل العلم ليردوا عليه ويبينوا عواره وأنه مدع. هذا الرجل مدع على الدعوة, مدع على السلفية, حزبي بغيض مقيت. قد نصحناه من قبل 7 سنوات 8 سنوات أظن في سنة 94 عندما التقينا معه في مؤتمر في مدينة ليستر, نصحناه وعظناه لكن أبى إلا أن يكون في أحضان الحزبيين. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدينا وإياه سواء السبيل.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah, he says, further, I wish to clarify a few more issues because I know this is a matter that is on the minds of many of the people.
And I know therefore the importance of dealing with it in a frank and open manner. The Sheikh says, some of the Shabab who do not have knowledge, but those who attribute knowledge to themselves, cause certain problems and declare certain things that are invalid. The Sheikh mentioned 5 years ago, we were with you in the Masjid Brixton, and we sat down different brothers. He mentioned from Birmingham, Luton, is that how I pronounce it? Luton, Manchester, and the brothers from Brixton. And they brought them down to make islah and rectify the issues and bring the people together on one heart. And as they were sitting there, they asked the brothers, here is the agreement, do you all agree to this? One of the people who was from Manchester, he stood up and said, I cannot agree to anything you write down, and I won't agree to anything until I ask the only three people that I rely upon. The three people that I rely upon. He mentioned Al-Sheikh Rabi' Nihad al-Madkhal Hafidhahullah, Al-Sheikh Muqbil, Al-Imam Muqbil Rahimahullah, and Abi Ishaq Al-Huwaini. So he put these as the three who he puts his full trust in. This is the word that just exited his mouth. So Sheikh Ali al-Halabi, in the same moment, said to him, well, what would it be if I informed you that the person you just stated, Abi Ishaq al-Huwaini, is an employee of At-Turas? He said, then I put him under my foot. So it shows you that what they have and what they state isn't a statement that is founded on knowledge. It is based on how they change 180 degrees, as the Sheikh said. 180 degree turn. From saying he's the person I established to the person that now I put under my foot. And this is the person who claims and who it is claimed is the Imam of the Jarh and Ta'deel in these lands, in Britain and so forth. So this person, we also narrate to you that he went to a Sheikh Rabi'ah, Hafidhahullah, and he went to him in Al-Madinah and he said, Ya Sheikh, I want to go and study in the university. Please write me a tazkiyah, write me a recommendation letter. So Sheikh Rabi'ah wrote him the letter thinking this will be used for the university. The person returned back to this land and held up the letter and said, here is the tazkiyah from a Sheikh Rabi'ah attesting to the fact that I am from those who can do the jarh and ta'deel amongst you and so forth. So this is something that is known, and we know this. And the Sheikh continued by saying, these are all issues that are dealt with. But the Sheikh mentions it is the duty of the people who reside in these lands, the students of knowledge who speak these language, the English language, to make it known to the scholars and the students of knowledge who don't know this language, the dangers that may be found in the different calls of the different people. The Sheikh mentions Jamaluddin Zarabozo. And he mentions to us that in this man's books and in the statements that are found therein, wherein he belittles Al-Sheikh Al-Albani and Al-Imam Al-Albani wal-Imam Al-Uthaymeen rahimahumullah, that he belittles them and contradicts them and says things against them. These things, although they are in the English language, they are still carried to the shuyukh, but the shuyukh request that more efforts are to be done, and it is wajib. The Sheikh says it is wajib upon the students of knowledge who speak the language of these individuals that the books are written in, to answer them or at least translate what they said and let those who are able to translate them. The Sheikh reminds you that this man, Zarabozo, he is a known Hizbi who may claim and who is claimed to have knowledge and things of this nature, but he is a known Hizbi, and the Sheikh mentioned that he has given him nasiha numerous times, even in these lands of yours. He met up with him in the city Leicester or Leicester? Leicester. He met him in Leicester and he gave him nasiha there, and yet the person would not abandon the confined hug, the hug of the people of Hizbiyyah. He wouldn't leave the nurturing of the Hizbis and the known Hizbi. And the Sheikh concluded by saying, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us as well as him guidance. And this is where we conclude with you today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب
ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، يقول الإمام الذهبي: المرسل علم على ما سقط ذكر الصحابي من إسناده، فيقول التابعي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هكذا عرف الذهبي رحمه الله الحديث المرسل على أنه ما سقط من إسناده الصحابي. وعلى هذا التعريف سار صاحب المنظومة البيقونية فقال: ومرسل منه الصحابي سقط. وهذا التعريف ليس صحيحا، لأنه لو ثبت أن الصحابي سقط منه فالإسناد صحيح، لأننا علمنا الواسطة بين التابعي وبين الرسول، وجهالة الصحابي لا تضر، ولأن الحقيقة في نفس الأمر خلاف ذلك.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued by saying and recited to us khutbatul hajah that we have all accustomed to hearing. Amma ba'd, al-imam al-zahabi rahimahullah states, and for those of you who have a copy of the book, we are on page 120 of the book, Al-Hadith Al-Mursal, a hadith which is hurried, or you will get the definition inshallah, hadith that is hurried, that is a literal translation, wherein there is an indication. This is the definition of Al-Imam Al-Zahabi. It is known, or there is an indication, that the mention of a sahabi, or the labeling of a sahabi, or the mention of him, is dropped from the isnad. The statement, it is a narration where in the chain of narration, the mentioning of the name of the sahabi is dropped. فَيَقُولُ التَّابِعِ. So therefore the tabi'i, the one who is accustomed to reporting from the sahabi, will say, the messenger of Allah said, without naming the sahabi whom he heard the hadith from. Once again, the mursal hadith is where the name or the mention of the sahabi who is reporting the hadith is dropped from the isnad, is dropped from the chain of narration, and such the tabi'i, the one who is reporting from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is reporting from the companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tabi'i does not mention the name of the sahabi, and he says qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, omitting or dropping from the chain of narration the name of the sahabi. And upon this understanding is some of the scholars of al hadith, from them the writer of al manzuma al bayquniya, wherein he says in this poetic discussion, it's a poem that discusses the laws of hadith, that the mursal is where the sahabi is dropped from the chain. The Shaykh counters this statement by saying, in fact, this statement is not precise enough. This statement, this definition, is not precise enough, for it leaves so much room, and in fact, if you interpreted it a certain way, if it shows that we know who the sahabi is, and the Sahabi is then dropped, that doesn't harm the authenticity of the report. So therefore, فَالْإِسْنَادُ صَحِيحٌ, the chain would still be deemed acceptable because the Sahabi, not having his mention or not knowing his mention, would not be something that will harm the chain. If we are established, we know who it would be eventually. So therefore the Shaykh will continue and give us more clarifications regarding the Mursal Hadith inshaAllah.
وأما قول الذهبي فيقول التابعي قال رسول الله هذا ليس حدا للحديث المرسل وإنما هو صورة المرسل ولا خلاف أن الحديث المرسل ضعيف عند المحققين وجماهير أهل العلم لأن الواسطة بين التابع والصحابي بين التابع والرسول مجهولة والجمهور أيضا على التسوية بين التابعين لا يقيدون المرسل بأنه مرسل التابع الكبير وإنما التسوية بين التابعين فكل تابعي رفع حديثا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دون واسطة فهذا حديث مرسل وهو حديث ضعيف.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continues by saying that definition that we have just given you that an Imam al-Zahabi states wherein that a tabi'i says qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and omits the mention of the sahaba whom he heard it from, this is one type of mursal, this is one example of a mursal hadith, and there are others and this will become clear soon inshallah. The Shaykh continues by saying, without a doubt, it's known that on a whole, in general, a mursal hadith is a hadith that is deemed unauthentic, is a da'if hadith. A mursal hadith, in general, is a hadith that is deemed da'if by the majority, if not all of the scholars of hadith. And this is due to the fact that a tabi'i is not mentioning the name of whom he is reporting from. And therefore this produces a breakage in the chain, which is one of the five conditions of an authentic hadith, that the chain has to be continuous in its entirety. So therefore in general, a hadith that is mursal is thought of and is considered to be a da'if hadith by the scholars of hadith. The Shaykh also points out the fact, the Shaykh has what is the mursal? This is what we're discussing. The mursal, the mursal is a hurried hadith. It is a hadith where there's a breakage in the chain. Is this where the tabi'i does not mention the name of the sahabi? The tabi'i does not mention the name of the sahabi. That is one type of mursal. That is one type of mursal hadith. The Shaykh also mentioned that the tabi'in, they are in the same level, meaning that there isn't a main distinction between the different types of tabi'in and the different levels of the tabi'in.
نعم هو بيسقطوا
لا هذا خطأ معنا قلنا أنه خطأ هذا
نعم من ببين لهم
إن هذا وجه المرسل لا هذا خطأ
نعم
المرسل أنه يقول التابع قال الرسول
نعم
دون ذكر الواسطة سواء كان صحابيا نعم أو تابعيا أو غيره
لسه كنت هبين.
The Shaykh is mentioning that it is when a tabi'i leaves out whoever is preceding him and mentions the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Whether, this is the first definition that Imam al-Zahabi, he says, when he leaves out the name of the Sahabi, this is one form of a Mursal Hadith. We're coming now to the second part, where there may in fact be another Tabi'i before him, or a person from the Tabi'i, reports from another Tabi'i, and so forth. Anytime a Tabi'i does not mention the person before him, this is deemed as a hadith that is mursal. Is that clear?
No.
No? Here is the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usually there is a sahabi who is reporting from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then reporting from him there is a tabi'i. If this tabi'i, this is one type, هذا وجه, one type of mursal. If the tabi'i, if the tabi'i narrates this way and does not mention the sahabi, he says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a type, one type of mursal. Another type, لو أكثر من تابعي قبل, هذا وجه,
هذا وجه خطأ.
نعم. هكذا لا يذكر هذا التابعي ولا الصحابي,
لا يذكر الواسطة.
نعم, لا يذكر الواسطة.
المهم or أن التابعي لا يذكر الواسطة بينه وبين الرسول.
نعم.
فيقول قال الرسول مباشرة. نعم.
Another type, there are different forms of mursal. Another form of a mursal hadith is if you have two tabi'i, just say here is the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a sahabi who is narrating. The tabi'i does not mention those who are between him and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore he will not mention the sahabi or the tabi'i. He will just mention the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a mursal hadith. A hurried narration. He hurries in the narration instead of saying, he told me, he told me, he told me. He hurries the narration and just says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Is that funny? No. We're just talking about the isqat, that he doesn't mention the sahabi in the isnad. No. يقول لو علم, we're still going to come to that. The Sheikh is going to explain it. لو علم أن الصحابي من هو لكن بالشواهد. نعم. That would become a mawsul hadith. But we're talking about this example if there was no mention at all. So that will be explained later inshallah. نعم.
قلنا أن الحديث المرسل ضعيف, فقد قال الإمام مسلم رحمه الله في مقدمة صحيحه, المرسل في أصل قولنا وقول أهل العلم بالأخبار ليس بحجة. وقال ابن الصلاح, ثم أعلم أن حكم المرسل حكم الحديث الضعيف إلا أن يصح مخرجه بمجيئه من وجه آخر. وهذا الذي عليه جماهير أهل العلم.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continues by saying what the majority of the scholars maintain as being the most correct and most comprehensive definition and most explanatory definition of what a mursal hadith is as stated in the Muqaddimah, the introductory words of Al-Imam Muslim's book, the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, wherein he states Al-Mursal, a mursal hadith, في أصل قولنا, in the foundation of what we say and what we know to be the truth, وقول أهل العلم, and the majority of the scholars and the people of knowledge, is that a person reports a narration that is unfounded with proof, that doesn't have proof founding it, meaning that there is nothing to substantiate who said from whom, meaning there's a breakage in some parts of the chain. That is one definition of Imam Muslim. That is joined with the definition of Ibn al-Salah, wherein he states, ثُمَّ أَعْلَمْ, and know with certainty, أَنَّ, that the hukm of the mursal, that a mursal hadith, is a hadith that is ضعيف, that is a weak hadith, except that where we know its makhraj, where we know its exit, where we know it first emerged, or where we know its origin is. بمجيئه من وجه آخر. We know where its origin is because we find another narration that explains the origin.
ممكن تبين له معنى
يعني يجيء له شاهد أو متابع.
ممكن ترسمها له عشان هو مش فاهمين أظن. يعني رسم لهم مثل هذا لو شاهد عشان هو المفهوم الصعب عليهم.
الحديث مرسل تابعي رسول الله تابعي يأتي يقول قال رسول الله أو فعل رسول الله أو من السنة كذا. الآن الأصل في الواسطة بين التابعي وبين الرسول الصحابي، لكن لو علمنا أن الصحابي أن التابعي أسقط الصحابي لكان الحديث صحيح لأن علمنا الواسطة. لكن ربما هذا التابعي يروي عن صحابي أو تابعي عن رسول الله، هذا التابعي ممكن يكون ضعيف وهذا ثقة، هذا التابعي ممكن يكون روى عن تابعي أو صحابي، هذا التابعي ممكن يكون ضعيف أو ثقة. لاحتمال هذا جهالة الواسطة وعدم الجزم بأنها صحابي فالحديث ضعيف، والضعيف لا يحتج به كما ذكر في كلام الإمام مسلم وكما ذكر في كلام الإمام ابن الصلاح، وعليه جماهير أهل العلم أن الحديث المرسل حديث ضعيف. فإذا الحديث المرسل هو أن يقول التابعي قال رسول الله، بغض النظر ما نقول أسقط الصحابي أو أسقط التابعي، يأتي يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، بينه وبين الرسول في مفاوز، في فترة ما رأى الرسول ولا شاهد الرسول ولا سمع الرسول، فإذا هو حديث ضعيف.
The Shaykh حفظه الله is explain to you by drawing this. Here is the Tabi'i and he reports directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regardless of who is in the chain, just by him reporting from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether there's another Tabi'i or whether there's a Sahabi, we cannot confine it. We cannot say a Mursal Hadith is when a Tabi'i leaves out a Sahabi. No, the Tabi'i may leave out other people other than the Sahabi. So a Mursal Hadith is any time the Tabi'i mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Here in the second example, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he mentions a Tabi'i who reports from a Sahabi, or it could be a Tabi'i. You're not really sure in this form. You wouldn't be sure who it was. He could be reporting from a Sahabi or a Tabi'i. As such, you're not sure if the Tabi'i is a person who is da'if or if he's a person who is thiqa. If the Tabi'i is reporting from a Tabi'i who is thiqa, this one who is reporting from, he could be reporting from a Sahabi or he could be reporting from another Tabi'i. So you are unsure. And this Tabi'i, you are not sure, he may be one who is da'if or he may be one who is thiqa, trusted. And this, there are many, many scenarios that can go through. The Mursal Hadith is a hadith that we do not say it is when a Tabi'i leaves out a Sahabi. Because if he left out the Sahabi, maybe there were others who were left out along with the Sahabi. Right?
يقول الحافظ بن حجر في نزهة النظر أن هذا الاحتمال نظريا يصل إلى ما لا نهاية، وبالاستقراء
وصل إلى سبع احتمالات.
نعم.
نعم.
سبعة.
سبعة. بالاستقراء.
نعم.
يعني بالأمور العملية.
نعم.
سبعة. وبالنظر إلى ما لا نهاية.
The Sheikh mentioned to us Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajr, in discussing this Mursal form, this algorithm that you see how it descends in this way, Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajr, he mentions that this, in fact, the ihtimalat, that there can be so many different scenarios that you can't count them. In fact, some have gone as far as to count seven different generations or seven different cycles of this, and then they stop counting because there are so many different ways that the narrations can become confused. So basically, since we are introducing the topic, we mentioned that a mursal is a narration where a tabi'i says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, regardless of whom he dropped out, whether it was a sahabi or other. خَيْرًا
هناك فائدة لا بد من ذكرها في الحديث المرسل, وهي ما يسمى بمرسل الصحابي. مرسل الصحابي هو أن يروي صحابي أمرا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونجزم أنه لم يسمعه من الرسول أو لم يره من الرسول. لماذا؟ لأنه صغير السن كان في وقتئذ, أو لأنه لم يكن وقتئذ مسلم, أو لأمر آخر. طيب, هذا الصحابي روى أمرا لم يسمعه من الرسول, فهو في صورة إيش؟ المرسل, في صورة المرسل. لكن ثبت بالاستقراء أن الصحابة لا يروون إلا عن الصحابة. إذن فهذا الصحابي أخذ هذا الكلام وهذا الفعل وهذا القول عن صحابي مثله, فعلمت الواسطة بين الصحابي وبين الرسول وهي صحابي آخر, فقالوا مراسيل الصحابة صحيحة يحتج بها. فأنتم تذكرون أن عائشة رضي الله عنها روت حديث بابتداء الوحي. طيب, عائشة عندما تزوجها الرسول في المدينة كان عمرها 9 سنوات, أي تزوجها بعد البعثة 15 سنة, أي عندما بعث الرسول لم تكن مولودة يومئذ. فمن أين عرفت حديث بدء الوحي؟ إذن لم تشهده. هل نقول حديث ضعيف وهو في الصحيحين؟ لا. إذن لابد أن تكون عائشة رضي الله عنها سمعته من صحابي آخر, فهذا هو مرسل الصحابة. وهذا لا بد منه للتفريق بين مرسل صحابي ومرسل غير الصحابي. مرسل غير الصحابي. No.
The Sheikh حفظه الله now mentions an important aspect, and it's something that's critical for us to understand regarding mursal narrations. You will find that there are narrations that are mursal that are acceptable, such as the narrations of the mursal of the sahabi, where a sahabi narrates a hadith where he himself could not have been there, could not have witnessed the event, yet they report to us the incident as if they were witnesses. I repeat, the mursal of a sahabi is when the sahabi, or male or female, they report the incident of something that they could not have been witnesses to, whether it's because they were not yet born, or it's because they were not present in that city during that time, or whether they had not yet accepted and entered into the faith, for whatever reason. So therefore, this mursal al-sahabi is something that is accepted by the scholars for certain reasons. First reason why the mursal of a sahabi is accepted is because the sahaba can only narrate from whom? Who were there that were living amongst them? Sahaba. So the knowledge they gained had to have been derived from either the Messenger ﷺ or someone who is their peer, equal, their colleague, another sahabi. So therefore this is an important indication. And the Shaykh gave us this example from the example of the hadith that is found in Bukhari wa Muslim. The statement of Aisha radiallahu anha. She narrates the hadith of the beginning of revelation. She narrates the hadith of the beginning of the wahy to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet the Shaykh hafizahullah, he mentions to you, we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha after the hijrah when she was 9 years old. We know that he had married her. We know that the wahy had already been revealed to him for 15 years. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already been given the risala for 15 years. That means Aisha, who was 9 years old, had not yet been born. How does Aisha receive this information? It could only have been derived from one of the two sources, either from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from someone who is equal to her from a sahabi. And therefore we don't reject these hadith, because that information that is contained from it, it is taken from a primary source that is acceptable for us to accept from. So therefore the mursal of the sahabi is something that is accepted as being an authentic hadith.
والفائدة الأخيرة في الحديث المرسل أن المرسل لو تعددت طرقه وكان مدارها على الإرسال لا تتقوى. يعني حديث مرسل وجاء حديث مرسل آخر وحديث مرسل رابع وخامس وعاشر لا يتقوى المرسل بالمرسل لاشتراكهما في العلة نفسها.
The Shaykh حفظه الله benefits you with another important point in discussing the hadith al-mursal. He mentions that if a hadith is mursal, one of the chains is a mursal chain, and you bring another chain to witness for it that is also a mursal chain, and you bring another 50 chains that are all mursal in the same form, all of them don't mention who is relating it from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that hadith can never be deemed acceptable. It is still deemed da'if. Is that clear? Yani, the Shaykh is mentioning to you, if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the hadith, you have the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you have the tabi'i, this is one chain, and you have another chain where another tabi'i from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and another chain where it's a tabi'i, and we still don't know who this is not valid. Because it doesn't matter how many people, how many chains you find, as long as that same illah, that effective cause, that cause is the reason for the weakness. So unless that weakness is addressed, the chains are unacceptable to be used as proofs with one another. طيب؟
الآن المعضل صبور أفضل.
The Shaykh is going to explain two next chapters together. They are the Mu'adal Hadith, a perplexing hadith, and the hadith that is munqati', broken. A hadith that is mu'adal, where it's perplexing in the chain, that you will see what we mean, inshaAllah. And a hadith that is munqati', broken. There's breakages in the chain.
الحديث المعضل يكون عندنا تابعي تابعي تابع التابعين، الأصل أن يروي عن تابعي عن صحابي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يأتي التابعي ويقول قال رسول الله، إذن يسقط واسطة، يسقط واسطتين. إذن المعضل هو ما سقط من سنده اثنان أو أكثر. إذا سقط من السند اثنان أو أكثر على التوالي، على التوالي، فهو حديث معضل. من أمثلتها بلاغات الإمام مالك في الموطأ. الإمام مالك من تابع التابعين، لما يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسقط التابعي، أسقط يش الصحابي، فهذا حديث معضل. الآن الحديث المنقطع، حديث المنقطع، الأصل تابعي تابعي عن تابعي عن صحابي عن رسول الله، يأتي التابع التابعي ويرسل ويسقط يش التابعي. ففي الإسناد يش انقطاع، في الإسناد انقطاع، هذا يسمى المنقطع وهذا يسمى المعضل.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah explained to us the next two sub-chapters by mentioning to you the first one, Al-Mu'dal narration. A mu'dal narration, this is the essence of the matter. This is the way it should be. A tabi'i reports from a tabi'i who reports from a sahabi who reports from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how a normal, acceptable, authentic chain of narration is. What we find in a mu'adal chain is that the tabi'i tabi'i, he will drop two consecutive narrators. على التوالي. This is important. He will drop two consecutive narrators. So he will report to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and will not include the tabi'i or the sahabi. And the sahabi. No. The Shaykh mentioned that the tabi'i tabi'i will not mention the tabi'i or the sahabi consecutively. Two breakages, one after another. And he will go from here to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example of this is found in the statements of Al-Imam Malik, the balaghat, balaghani. It has reached me. Al-Imam Malik used to narrate, and we know Al-Imam Malik, he used to narrate from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ. It has been brought to me that the Messenger did this or that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم did that. Meaning that an Imam Malik would not include the likes of Nafi', for example, or the likes of Ibn Umar. He would just go straight to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would remove the tabi'i and the sahabi from the chain of narration. So this is the example of mu'dal. The example of al-munqati' is where a tabi'i tabi'i, once again, tabi'i tabi'i, he is supposed to report from a tabi'i, and he is supposed to report from a sahabi who reports from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a correct chain once again. What we find in this munqati' or broken hadith is that one or more of the reporters are excluded but not consecutively. They are not ala tawali. One or more of the reporters are excluded, but not consecutively. So here the Shaykh mentions that the tabi'i tabi'i, he will begin the narration here. and then continue with the narration as such. So he will miss out the tabi'i. He will miss out this tabi'i. Do you see the difference? There is no, if
لو ممكن نسوي لهم كمان انقطاع مثلا هنا. طيب.
I also asked the chef permission if I can show how the transmission would be if there is more than one non-consecutive. So just say there's a reporter here who is reporting from the tabi'i or the tabi'i tabi'i. This reporter, just say he reports التابعي, and the tabi'i. He would report it in this manner. So there is this breakage and there is this breakage. So there are two breakages, but they are not one after another. Is it clear? Or do you want the chef to draw you something? Chef here. On the board? No. Is this, let me draw it from the beginning. Here is an example of a munqata chain. You have a reporter. You have a reporter. You have a person who is supposed to be reporting from a tabi'i. Who is supposed to be reporting? You have two reporters, one after another. Who is supposed to be reporting from a tabi'i? Who is supposed to be reporting from a sahabi? Who is supposed to be reporting from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What will happen is that this reporter, he will report from the tabi'i tabi'i. Khayran? And this tabi'i tabi'i shall report from this sahabi. And he will report from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is two breakages in the chain, here and here. But they are not one after another. No. So they are not consecutive. They are not على التوالي. One, there is a break, there isn't a breakage in between the two. Is that clear? If it's not clear, the sheikh wants you to ask. This T? This is an R. Reporter and a reporter. So those are two reporters before, who are after the tabi'at tabi'in times. Now. لا, this hadith cannot be. الحديث هذا صحيح ممكن يكون.
هذا كلها ضعيف.
All of this is ضعيف.
بدأنا في الأحاديث الضعيف الآن.
نعم. We are discussing
these. معضل, منقطع, مرسل, ضعيف.
These narrations are unacceptable because there's breakages. How could we accept a narration where two people from the riwayah are not known?
واحد. ممكن يكون راو او اكثر لكن ليس على
التوالي.
مرسل بكون صحابي مرسل. ممكن يكون مرسل ومنقطع فبكون ايش معضل. ها واضح ولا مو واضح؟
واضح.
اذا مش واضح نوضح بطريقه اخرى. نوضح.
نعم. امسح الصبور. Come stand up. The sheikh wants you to, he'll show you by men standing in front of you. you will notice that I left the Sahabi included, so it's not a Mursal example. Yeah, this brother.
هذا تابع التابعي وهذا تابعي وهذا صحابي وهذا إذا كان نفرض إنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الآن يأتي تابع التابعي هذا وهي يبقى اثنان على إيش
التوالي
هذا حديث معظم
Two consecutive narrators are pulled out of the chain. The hadith is mu'dhar.
مُعْضَر.
I can't talk when the shaykh starts.
I can put it on the board. And the Sheikh is mentioning that if there are two consecutive narrators pulled from the chain, that hadith becomes mu'dal. As we showed you, the two people, and this is for the sisters primarily, two people are removed from the chain, therefore it is a mu'dal hadith, and it can be whether in the transmission of the Sahabi and the Tabi'i, or preceding them, or after them, and so forth.
No.
Is that clear? And the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have in this place, if you remove one person from the chain, not the Sahabi, you keep the Sahabi, because if you remove that, that's Mursal. But you remove a person in the chain, anywhere below the Sahabi, one person, there isn't anything consecutive, one person, that becomes munqata, means broken. The chain is broken. There's a breakage in the chain.